Qadimun Media dedicated to the Ummah presents The Fiqh of Menstruation delivered by Ustad Abu Talha.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد إن شاء الله we'll be looking at the topic of menstruation, istihada and nifas. There will be three sessions, and the last session will be question and answers. The question and answers for anything that I've discussed or related issues, inshallah. So there will be three topics, as I mentioned. First, I'll be looking at menstruation, menses. And then secondly, I'll look at istihada and nifas. And thirdly, I will look at some of the ahkam or some of the rules and regulations relating to these. To begin then, inshallah, our first topic will be on hayd, menstruation. And these are the points that I hope to cover. First of all, what is the age that it starts and the age that it ends, the length of the menses, changes to the menstrual cycle, and using things to prevent or cause the menses. The last one, laws, that will be, inshallah, covered in the third topic. To begin, this is of course a very, very important topic and also a very difficult topic as well for the scholars. And this is something that is related to a woman's ibadah, and it's very important for women to understand this topic and to have good fiqh, good understanding of it, and also be able to pass on that knowledge to others as well, especially for mothers, because mothers is something that you should be teaching your daughters. And these are things that they need to know when they reach puberty. It's a difficult topic because many of the scholars, they spent a lot of time studying it. Imam Ahmed, for example, he said that he spent 9 years on the chapter of Hayd, on menses, until he understood it. He said, I spent 9 years on the chapter of Hayd until I understood it. And this is Imam Ahmed, spending 9 years trying to understand this topic. And I haven't spent that long, so I won't have all the answers and all the questions or issues that arise from this topic. And he also said, Imam Ahmed, he said that the topic of Hayd or menses revolves around three hadith. The hadith of Fatima bint Hubaysh, the hadith of Ummu Habiba, and the hadith of Hamna. And inshallah we'll come across each of these hadith. And in another narration he said that instead of the hadith of Ummu Salama, he said the hadith of Ummu Habiba. Shaykh Nuthaymeen rahimullah, he said also that this topic of Hayd is among the most difficult subjects for the fuqaha. And the reason being, wallahu alam, is that because a lot of the issues are related to the women themselves, and their habits or what happens to them varies depending on situations or depending on where they are. And so that's why you find lots of differing opinions amongst the scholars on these issues. Why is it important for a woman to understand the topic of menses? First of all, because it is an issue related to her ibadah, it is an issue related to tahara. And tahara is the key to salah. Tahara is miftah salah. At-tahur miftah salah. Purification is the key to salah. And menses, knowing the topic of menses is around purification. So one, a woman who's going to perform salah or an act of ibadah that requires tahara, she needs to understand the subject of menses. And it is something that is particularly related to her, so she needs to understand, because every woman goes through this, almost all women go through this, and it's an individual thing, and women need to learn about these things. And very often there are lots of questions that arise, and hopefully if women spend a little bit of time trying to study these issues, they will be able to answer this question themselves. Now the first thing we'll look at, inshallah, what is Hayd? The word Hayd in the Arabic, or the menses, the word for menses in the Arabic is Hayd. And in the Arabic language, it has a meaning. It means something that is flowing or running. They say that if a valley is flowing with water or something, they said Hadal Wadi. The valley has flowed with water or running. That's where the word comes from. And it's used in the Sharia to refer to the natural blood. In the Sharia, it's used to refer to the natural blood that comes from a woman's vagina without a cause during certain times. Okay, natural blood that comes from a woman's private part without a cause during certain times. And of course, during these topics, I'll mention certain words which are a bit sensitive, but because of the nature of the topic, hopefully we need to discuss them. And the Hayd is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has written on the daughters of Adam. So this is a natural thing, something that Allah Azza wa Jal has prescribed for the women, and it's not something which is considered to be bad or an ill omen or something that the women should be shunned for. It was a practice of the Jews that when the women were in menses, they would shun them altogether. They would not eat with them. They would not sit with them. Alhamdulillah, Islam came and got rid of all of those practices. So Hayd is a natural thing. And medical experts, they say that it is part of the female reproductive cycle. That it is necessary for a woman, if she's going to have children, that she goes through this process of Hayd. So what is it actually, medically, what actually happens? And alhamdulillah, there's lots of useful information on the internet, for those of you who want to investigate and find out more. There's lots of websites that you can find out more about, inshallah, in terms of the medical aspects. For example, if you go to the NHS website, there's lots of useful information there, and also advice as well, from a medical perspective that you can look up. So they said that the Hayd is actually made up, or the blood that comes out is actually made up of the lining of the womb. The lining of the womb that is shed, and a small amount of blood. And the blood that comes from the blood that comes out is actually from the breaking of the defined blood vessels within the womb as the lining detaches itself. So this is what Hayd is, and this happens in a woman on a regular basis, for most women on a regular basis. For some women, they have irregular menses, as we'll discuss, inshallah. The first point I'd like to look at is, when does Hayd actually begin for a woman? When does it actually begin for a woman? And when does it end in terms of her age? At what age does the Hayd consider to end? Some of the scholars, they say that the minimum age for a woman is 9 years old, and before that it's not considered to be Hayd. And they put the maximum age as 50. That after the age of 50, a woman is considered to have reached menopause and she no longer has menses. However, this is based on the experience of scholars and what they've seen from the women amongst the communities. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that predominantly Hayd occurs between the age of 12 and 50 years. Predominantly, that it occurs between the age of 12 and 50 years. But however, it could happen before that or after that, depending on the woman's condition and climate. So you could have sometimes a woman having menses before the age of 12, and sometimes you can have a woman having menses after the age of 50. And in fact, also this is proven medically, as medical experts, they say that it's possible for periods or menses to occur between the ages of 8 and 16. So between that age, it can start at any time. And also that they say that most commonly, it starts around the age of 12. Wallahu alam, this may be the observation of women or girls in this country. It may differ in other countries. And they say that the periods or the menses continue until menopause, and which occurs usually between 45 to 55 years of age. So there's not much difference between what medical experts say and what the scholars of Sharia say. Alhamdulillah. However, in terms of setting a minimum age limit, as some of the scholars have set, the age of 9, or the age of 50, then for this there is no real clear evidence. There is no clear evidence on this. What we have general evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that as long as there is menses, then it is to be treated as menses, and there is no limit as to when it starts. So the age of 9 is something that the scholars have stated due to the local custom or local practice, but there is nothing in the Sharia which specified that it has to be the age of 9. It can be earlier. Or that the maximum age is 50. It doesn't have to be 50, it can be later. What is the proof for this? Proof is from the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is an important ayah to remember, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 222, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًا فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you concerning menstruation. Say that this is a harmful thing. Therefore, keep away from women during menses and go not unto them till they have purified. Truly, Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance and loves those who purify themselves. So what is the proof in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that they ask you regarding mahid, regarding menses. Say that it is adha. فَاَعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. So keep away from the women in their menses. So Allah Azza wa Jal did not state a limit here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says in this ayah that as long as there is menses, then you are to keep away from the women, that is, married women, that sexual relationship is not allowed, as we will inshallah discuss later on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected the hukum, the ruling, with the presence or the absence of menses. So as long as the menses is present, so therefore the hukum applies, that is, one has to keep away from them. So when the menses is absent, then the hukum no longer applies, and that is that the sexual relationship is permissible between husband and wife. Is that clear? Okay, we have a second ayah from Surah At-Talaq. Second ayah from Surah At-Talaq, ayah number 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّائِي يَئِسْنَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ إِنْ ارْتَبْتُمْ فَعِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرٍ وَاللَّائِي لَمْ يَحِضْنَ وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Surah At-Talaq, which is Surah 65, ayah number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those of you women as have passed the age of monthly courses, for them, the iddah. This is referring to the women who have reached menopause. So the iddah, the waiting period, if you have doubts, is 3 months. And for those who have no courses, that is the young girls who have not reached menstruation yet, their iddah is also 3 months. So Allah Azza wa Jal here in this ayah did not specify a limit of when the menses start for a girl. He simply, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says if they haven't started, then their waiting period is 3 months. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah did not specify a limit or an age limit for the women when they reach menopause. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says that if they have no menses, then they have reached that age, if they have reached that stage of in their life. Okay, so this is the first point, inshallah. So there is no set limit for when menses can start or when they end. But as the scholars have stated, and also medical experts have said, that it is the beginning is between 8 and 16. Predominantly, some they say that most commonly it's around the age of 12 when menses start. And also the end, around 50 years of age, or it can be a bit more, or a bit less, 45 to 55, as medical experts have stated. So what does that mean? This means that menses is one of the signs of a woman reaching adulthood. If a woman, if a girl starts to have menses, she is regarded as being baligh. She is now mature and she is mukallaf, meaning that now she is Islamically or legally responsible. So she has to perform salah and she has to perform, observe the fast and so on. So this is very important, sisters, especially if you are mothers, that you educate your daughters about this, because this is something that it would be sensitive for fathers to talk about to girls, but so it's something that mothers need to discuss with their daughters. So if your daughter reaches this age of puberty and she starts seeing the signs of menses, she is now baligh. So that means she has to pray, and that now she is legally responsible. She will be held accountable for her actions. So it's very important that we recognize it. Of course, this is one of the signs. The other signs include the appearance of pubic hair and so on. And so if a girl reaches this this age or sees these signs, then she is now baligh and mukallaf and responsible. And if she does not see this, then the age limit is 15. So when she reaches the age of 15, if by that time she has not had her menses or she has not seen pubic hair, then at the age of 15 she is considered to be baligh and mature and responsible. That's the first point. We move on to the second point before that, inshallah, regarding the age. This difference of opinion between the scholars. And as I said, some scholars said the beginning age is 9, and some scholars say others, and they say the end age is 50. One of the scholars by the name of Ad-Darimi, he said, to me all of that is a mistake. He said that all of that is a mistake. The reference for this is the presence of menses. Whatever amount is found at whatever age should be treated as menses. Okay, that statement again. He says, to me all that is a mistake, meaning that to say that there is age limit, beginning age or an ending age. He said the reference for this is the presence of menses. Whatever amount is found at whatever age should be treated as menses. So as long as the signs of menses are there, then it is treated as menses. If it's not there, then it's not treated as such. And this is also the view of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, and also amongst contemporary scholars Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Moving on to the second point now. So if a woman has started their menses now, how long do these menses last? How long do the menses last? Some women, they have a regular cycle. Most regular time, medical experts, they say menses can last between 2 and 7 days. And average for many women is about 5 days. That's medical experts in this country. Some other scholars say about 6 days or 6 or 7 days. So there is a regular period that many women have. Most women or a lot of women have. However, is there a fixed limit? I mean, can we say that, that's it, 6 or 7 days is the fixed limit or the maximum limit? Is there a maximum limit or a minimum limit? There is differences of opinion between the scholars. And there are numerous opinions on this. There are, in fact, about 6 or 7 opinions on the matter. However, the correct view, or the strongest view, is that, as we said previously, as long as the signs of menses are there, no matter how long or how short it is, then it is considered to be menses. So there is no maximum period, as some scholars say, of 15 days, or a minimum period, as some scholars say, of day and a night, 24 hours. So menses could be for a few hours, in fact, as long as the signs are there. Or it can be longer than 15 days if the signs of menses are there. We have a statement of Ibn al-Mundhir, one of the scholars. He said, a group of scholars said there is no limit by days for the maximum and minimum length of menses. A group of scholars said there is no limit by days for the maximum and minimum length of menses. And this, inshallah, is the correct view. And again, this is the view that was taken by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, and also Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah, rahimullah, as well as other scholars, as mentioned by Ibn al-Mundhir, rahimullah. And what is the evidence for this? The evidence, number of arguments, or number of proofs for this. First proof is from the Qur'an, the ayah that I mentioned previously, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ, they ask you regarding the menses, say that it is something harmful, keep away from the woman during the menses. That is the first proof. Okay, what is the proof for this? Because the proof is that Allah says here that the prohibition of sexual relationship is unto purification. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say for 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or 15 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that as long as there are menses, then the husband cannot approach the wife for sexual relationship during this time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not state a maximum period. So as long as the woman sees natural blood, not caused by illness or injury, then it is considered to be hayd, to be menses. The second proof from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to her, "Do what the Hajj or the pilgrim does, other than tawaf around the house until you are purified." And then she said, "I became purified on the day of sacrifice, Yawm al-Nahr." This hadith is reported by Muslim. Once again, just to repeat, the Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha, "Do what the Hajj or the pilgrim does, other than the tawaf around the house, until you are purified." And then she said, "I became purified on the day of sacrifice, the day of Nahr, which is the 10th day," reported by Muslim. What the background to this hadith is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she went to Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and her menses started. And she felt sad, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi said to her, "This is something which Allah azawajal has prescribed on the daughters of Adam." And he said that, "Do carry out all the duties of Hajj, except that you cannot perform tawaf until you are purified." So she had to delay the tawaf, and then when she became purified, she was able to perform the tawaf. Okay, and inshallah we're going to discuss this later on as well, because one of the issues related to, one of the rulings related to hayd. So what is the proof in this hadith? The proof in the hadith is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha that wait until you are purified. He did not state a period for her. He did not say to her wait 3 days or maximum or 5 days or 6 days or even 15 days. He simply said to her wait until you're purified. And also another addition of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said to her, "Wait, then when you are purified, go out to Tan'im," which is a place outside of the Haram. So again, in this hadith, he simply said to her, "Wait." He did not specify a time limit for the menses. Is that clear so far, inshallah? If something is not clear, inshallah, write it down, and I will try and clarify it later on. That is the second evidence to state that there is no maximum or minimum period to the menses. The third proof is that the times mentioned by the scholars are not in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scholars, they stated a number of opinions, 5 or 6 opinions, whether it's 1 day as a minimum time or more or less than that, or the maximum time of 15 days. These periods are not stated by Allah Azza wa Jal or the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, was there a need for the women to know this? The answer is definitely yes. There was a need for the women in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to know this, because this is something that occurred and happened, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not ignore teaching the women or teaching the ummah something that they needed in their ibadah. So if these limits were something from the Sharia or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would most definitely have stated or clarified these limits. So the fact that he did not state them, he did not clarify them, is a proof to show that these limits are not to be considered, but rather the signs of menses are what should be looked at. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he said that there is no minimum or a maximum for it. So when there is bleeding, when the bleeding is present with its distinct qualities, this is menstruation, whether it is little or a lot. And there is a quote of this, he said, "Menstruation, al-hayd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached numerous rulings to it in the Quran and the Sunnah. But he did not state the shortest or longest length, or length of the period of tahara between the two menstrual periods, even though the need to know that exists." I'll repeat that again, inshallah. Shaykh al-Islam, he said, that menstruation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached number of rulings to it in the Quran and the Sunnah. Now what that means, there is a number of issues that are connected to haid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, he says, but he did not state the shortest or longest length of haid. Or the length of the period of tahara between the two menstrual periods, even though the need to know this knowledge exists. And he also said, Shaykh al-Islam, some of the scholars defined a maximum and minimum, but they differed concerning that. And some stated maximum length without defining a minimum. The third view is correct, most correct, which states that there is no minimum or maximum. Okay, so this is the third proof. And the fourth proof is that those scholars who set a limit differed. They had differing opinions, six opinions. And these differences, of course, differences show the weakness of the argument. Because if the argument was strong, that there should be a minimum period and there should be a maximum period, then there should be some kind of agreement as to what it is. The fact that they differed and they had differing opinions shows the weakness of the argument and the weakness of that view. And again, there is a statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah who said that the general rule is that whatever comes from the womb is menses until there is a proof to show that it is non-menstrual vaginal bleeding. He said the general rule is that whatever comes from the womb is menses until there is proof to show that it is non-menstrual vaginal bleeding. Is that clear so far, inshallah? So we've looked at two issues. First, what is the age? The beginning age and the ending age. And the correct opinion, as the scholars have stated, is that there is no fixed age. So we look for the signs of menses. And the second point that we looked at is the period, the length. How long is it? Is there a minimum period? And is there a maximum period? Difference of opinion between the scholars. And as we've just discussed, the correct and the easiest and the most practical opinion to adopt is that there is no fixed limit. As long as the signs are there, then it is considered to be menses. So it can be very short time. It can be even a couple of hours. Or it can be a very long time, even extending over 15 days. The next point I'd like to look at is haid during pregnancy. Is it possible for a woman to have menstruation while she is pregnant? The answer is, predominantly, when a woman becomes pregnant, the menses stop. In fact, the cessation of the menses is a sign of her pregnancy. So predominantly, for most women, that when the menses stop, it is a sign of pregnancy. And Imam Ahmad, he said that women know pregnancy by the cessation of their blood, meaning the cessation or the stopping of the menses. However, even medical experts say today that sometimes there can be some bleeding, especially in the early period of pregnancy. So what is the situation if this occurs? And this is rare. Scholars say this is very rare. I'm not sure how what the percentage is, but it is not something which is common. But if it does happen, then what is that blood that happens, that a woman sees during pregnancy? So two scenarios. First of all, if the woman sees the blood, and that is very prior to the delivery or the birth, 2 or 3 days before birth, and it's with contraction, then it is considered to be nifas. So a woman knows that she's going to deliver very shortly, and then a few days before her delivery, she sees some blood. 3 days or 4 days before her delivery, she sees some blood. And there is contraction with this bleeding. So this bleeding is considered to be nifas. And we'll see the ahkam or the rulings regarding nifas. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is that if the bleeding is long before the delivery, the due date, or it is shortly before the delivery due date, but there is no contraction, then what is the hukum? Is it considered to be nifas or is it considered to be menses? The correct view that if this is the case, that it is long before the due date, or before the due date but without contraction, then it is considered to be menses. It is if it is if it falls during her normal cycle. Is that clear? So if this bleeding falls during her normal cycle, that before she became pregnant, then it is considered to be menses. If it falls outside of the normal cycle, then it is considered to be istihada, abnormal bleeding. Okay, so the view which says that it is menses is that if it falls during her normal menstrual cycle is the view of Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi'i, and also the view of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh. And as I say, this is not a very common case or common situation, but it can occur and it does happen, as our ulama, our scholars have said, and as medical experts have also pointed out. Now, moving on to another point, which is not actually on the slide there, that is the ending of menses. How does a woman know that her menses have ended? There are two ways or two things that the scholars, ulama mention. The first is what is called the white discharge. When a woman sees this white discharge at the end of her menses regular cycle, then that is a sign that her menses have ended. The second sign is complete dryness. That a woman has completely become dry from menses, and that is if she does not have the white discharge. So there are women who do not have this white discharge. So how does she know that her menses have ended? That she sees complete dryness. So what does she do? In this case, she can find out if her period has ended by inserting a piece of cotton or something similar into the place or the private part where the blood comes from. And if the cotton comes out clean, then her period is over and she has to do ghusl and pray. If it comes out red or yellowish or brownish, then the haid has not ended and she should not pray and she should wait. These are two signs when a woman knows that her menses have ended. We're going to move on now to a third point, and that is changes that occur to the menstrual cycle. And this is a problem that many women experience. Some women, they have regular cycles, as I mentioned, and they know when their cycles come and go, and they don't have any problems. Alhamdulillah, they don't experience any issues. But there are other women who go through menses, and they are unsure, is it menses or not, how long it is, and so on and so on. Now, they say, the medical experts or medical people, they say that when a girl starts her period, her menses, it can take up to 2 years for her menses to settle into a regular cycle. So this is something that women should be aware of, that can take a period of time for a woman to get into a regular cycle. So they point out about 2 years. And there are a number of reasons why there can be changes to the regular cycle. And again, the medical people, you'll find all of this on the NHS website, they say that the pattern, a woman's menstrual cycle, can be disturbed for a number of reasons. For physical reasons, for emotional, even for emotional upsets, for stress, or even changing the method of contraception, or either using IUD or pill and so on. These things can disturb or interfere with a woman's cycle. And also they say that irregular menses is normal and common for a few years after puberty. And also, as I mentioned, up 2 years, they say it takes time to settle. And also, before the menopause, because of the hormone imbalance. So this is something that occurs, and it's especially, as I just pointed out, that when it first starts, and also when it starts to end as well, in the beginning, before puberty, or around puberty, and also at the end, around menopause. And there can be, during that time in between, women can suffer irregular menses due to those reasons mentioned, physical or mental or whatever else. So what does a woman do in these situations? So there are a number of scenarios, and inshallah I'll discuss each of these scenarios in detail. The first situation is that there is an increase or a decrease to the regular cycle. A woman has a regular cycle, but on an occasion it increases or it may decrease. So for example, so let's say her normal cycle is 6 days, but it continues until the seventh day of the normal cycle, or even eighth day, it goes on longer. Or other way around, her normal cycle is 6 days, and that it ends before the 6 days, it lasts for 5 days, or even 4 days. So there's an increase or decrease to her regular cycle. That's the first situation. The second scenario, second situation, is the menses occurring earlier or later than the regular cycle during the month. For example, a woman has menses normally at the end of the month, but it appears at the beginning. Or the other way around, that woman normally has her menses at the beginning of the month, and it occurs at the end of the month. So there is a change now in the time of the month when she has her menses, but still it is regular. So in these situations, in these two situations, what does a woman do? When there is increase or decrease, or the time has changed altogether, from the beginning to the end, or from the end to the beginning. In these two situations, two scenarios, the correct position is that whenever she sees menses, it is treated as menses. So if it goes longer than her normal cycle and it looks like menses, then it is treated as menses. Or that it is shorter than her normal cycle, as long as she sees the signs of purity, as we just discussed, either the white discharge or complete dryness, then she treats it as her menses becoming shorter. Or that if her time period changes from the beginning to the end, then she goes accordingly. So now it's changed, she treats it as that her normal cycle. And this is the view of Imam al-Shafi and also Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, and this is the view supported by Imam ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Mughni. Is that clear so far, inshallah? Okay, good. Now, we have a third situation, a third scenario, and that is related to what is known as the asufra and the kudra. Asufra and kudra. Asufra is a word which means something yellowish of nature, a sign of yellowish, a kind of discharge. And kudra is kind of a murkish, yellowish, blackish discharge. So what happens when a woman gets this kind of discharge? The sufra and kudra. Okay? I hope I'm not talking about something which doesn't occur, right? This is something which scholars have discussed, so I think these are things that happen. Now, if this happens, if this sufra and kudra, this yellowish or this murky kind of discharge occurs, and it is during the menses, it is during the menses, it's very important to understand, it is during the menses, or continues before the menses ends, then it is treated as menses. It is treated as menses. So for example, a woman gets, let's say, at the end of her normal cycle, she's getting this discharge, and she's not seen her sign of tuhur, a sign of purity. Then this is to be treated as what? As menses. Okay? And what is the proof for this? The proof for this is the hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and others, reported by Imam al-Bukhari without an isnad, and also reported by Imam Malik, that the women, they used to send containers with cloths which had traces of yellow on them to Aisha radiallahu anha. So they used to send these things to Aisha radiallahu anha, seeking her opinion. And of course Aisha radiallahu anha, she was the most knowledgeable person regarding these matters. And a lot of these ahkam come from Aisha radiallahu anha. And it shows also, sisters, that Aisha, she was a woman, she was very well versed in these subjects. And so we should really have women who take the time or make the effort to learn these ahkam, and they're equipped and knowledgeable in these matters. And very often women have to rely on men to give them the hukum, and rather there should be women who learn these things and other women can rely on. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a lot of knowledge on this thing. So anyway, the women, they used to send these things to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Aisha, she would say, do not hasten until you see the white discharge. So she's telling them that this yellowish discharge that you've seen, don't hurry, don't rush until you actually see the white discharge, which is the sign of dhuhr, which is the sign of purity. Okay? So this is a proof to show that if you get this kind of discharge between, and it's in your menses, and you've not seen your sign of dhuhr, then you treat it as menses. Is that clear? Okay. Now, however, what happens if you see this discharge, this yellowish or this murkish discharge, after the menses have over, meaning that a woman has seen her sign of tuhur, she's seen the white discharge, or she has seen dryness, complete dryness, and then she gets this yellowish or murkish discharge, what happens? The answer is that if it's after the menses, then it is not treated as menses. And what is the proof for this? Proof for this is the hadith of Ummu Atiyah radiallahu anha, which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood, that she said, we did not bother about any yellow or brownish discharge after a woman's period was over. She said that we did not consider this Qudra and the Sufra, we did not bother with it after the Tuhr. Meaning they did not consider it to be menses. So if it happens after the white discharge, then it is not considered as menses, it is considered as a kind of discharge. I hope that is clear, inshallah. Okay, good. Now, a fourth issue on this about irregular or changes to the menstrual cycle is that a woman may experience discontinuous bleeding, meaning that she may see blood one day and the next day she sees nothing. And the following day she sees blood again, and the day after she sees nothing. So she gets this kind of thing. She sees bleeding, then she sees a period, there is no bleeding, and then she sees it again. So what does a woman do in that situation? So there are two scenarios. The first is that if this is a permanent condition, meaning that it happens to the woman all the time, she sees blood, she sees clean period, she sees blood, clean period, and so on, and it just happens all the time, regularly, then it is to be treated as istihada. She is to treat it as istihada, and istihada, inshallah, will come to later on, istihada, which is non-menstrual vaginal bleeding. This is the medical term for it. Now, that's the first thing. So if it's a permanent condition and happens all the time, she treats it as istihada. The second scenario is that it is not continuous in it, and it's not a permanent condition. It happens sometimes. Meaning that a woman has a regular time where she is tahir. She doesn't have menses. But however, sometimes she gets this, she sees this bleeding, and then she sees a short period where there's no bleeding, and so on. So what does a woman do in that situation? Is that scenario clear, sisters? Yeah, the scenario is clear, inshallah. Okay. What happens in that situation? Yes. So let's say a woman, she has a regular time where she has tuhur. Yes? However, there may be a time when, let's say she has bleeding, then she has a short period of no bleeding, and then she has a period of bleeding again, and then she has a period of no bleeding. Okay? But this happens irregularly. It happens sometimes. It's not a regular thing. Is that understood? Okay. So what does a woman do in that situation? Difference of opinion between the scholars. The correct view, when it occurs like this sometimes, then that short period when she sees no bleeding, that short period, is it to be treated as menses or is it to be treated as the tuhur period? Are we clear on this? Yeah. What does this mean? It means if we treat it as menses, that means her menses then is continuous. Okay, even when there's no blood. Clear? If we treat it as tuhur, as a clay period, that means after each bleeding, she has to take a ghusl, and then she does a salah and whatever during that short period of cleansiness. And then when the menses again, she stops. And then when she has that clean period, she has to do ghusl again. Are we clear on this? Yes? So what do we treat that short period of cleansiness? The correct view is that we treat it as menses. The correct view is that we treat it as menses. And this is the view of Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, and also Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh. Why? What is the reason for this? Why do we treat it as menses, although there is no bleeding? The answer is, there are three reasons. First of all, because in this short period, when she is clean, no bleeding, there is no discharge, there is no white discharge. Okay, so she does not see any clear sign of tuhur. Secondly, if it was treated as a tuhur period, then what is before it would be hayd, what is after it is hayd, which means that if she was in idda, if she was in waiting period, her idda would be over within 5 days. Is that clear? Let's say, for example, a woman who has to wait 3 menstrual cycles for her idda. So if we said that that she has menses and the tuhur period is considered to be tuhur, okay, so that's one. Then after that she has menses for a short time, then the clean period after that is tuhur, so that's her second menses. Then after that she has menses again, that's her third. So her idda would be over within 5 days, within a few days. Is that clear? And that would not be correct. Right? So that's the second reason why that short period of tuhur is not considered to be tuhur, but rather as menses. So it is continued menses and not counted as tuhur. And also the third reason is that if we were to regard it as a tuhur period, clean period, it would cause hardship on the woman, because every time she would have to have ghusl every 2 days. Right? Of course, that is easy for us, alhamdulillah, but you know, in situations where water is not so accessible, it will cause hardship on the woman that after a short period of menses, she becomes tuhur, she has to take ghusl, and then she has menses, and then she tuhur, ghusl again, and so on. So she's taking ghusl all the time, and that is causing excessive hardship on the woman, and the Sharia removes hardship from us. So this is the scenario, and this is the hukum, this is the ruling, that if it happens, then we count it as, for that short period where there is no bleeding, is treated as menses, so the woman continues to count it as menses, and the hukum, the ahkam of menses apply, and this is inshallah the strongest and the correct, and the most practical and the most easiest view to adopt. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We're coming now to a fifth situation regarding changes to the menstrual cycle. And that is when there is dryness in the blood. A dryness in the menstrual blood. And a woman only sees moisture. So in this situation, if it is connected to the menses, that is, she has not seen the signs of tuhur, signs of purity, then it is treated as hayd. If this dryness in the blood, if it after the tuhur or the clean the menses is over, then it is not treated as menses. These are the five scenarios, inshaAllah. So let me just quickly summarize. So in the case of increase or decrease, what does the woman do, sisters? If a regular cycle increases to 6 days or decreases, let's say 5 days, increase to 7 days or decrease to 5 days, what does she do? Consider it as hayd, yes. What if her time changes in the month, from the beginning, let's say, to the end, or from the end to the beginning? Yes. So she still treats it as hayd. What about the sufra and the kudra, the yellowish or the brownish, murky discharge? You have to be careful here. Yes. That's right, yes. So that's right, Zakallah khair. So if it's during the hayd, before the tuhur, signs of tuhur appear, then it is to be treated as menses. If it's after the signs of tuhur, then it's to be treated as a discharge.
Based on the hadith of Aisha and also the hadith of Ummu Atiyah. And the fourth scenario, the discontinuous bleeding. Okay, so there's two cases here. First case, if it is a permanent condition, then it is treated as what? Istihada. But if it's not, if it's occasional, then what is the hukum? The hukum is? Yes, that time, that short period when she does not have menses is treated as menses. Okay? And finally, the dryness in the blood, as I mentioned, if it's connected to the menses, it's menses. If it's outside, then it is not. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now we come to a final point on Hayd for this first part of the topic. And that is something about preventing the menses. A woman taking something, medicine or pills or whatever, that prevents her menses, or the opposite, taking something to cause the menses to happen. What is the hukum regarding this? Is it permissible or not? We'll look at that inshallah. First of all, the first case, preventing the menses. Using something to prevent the menses, whether it's inserting something into the private parts or taking a form of medicine, tablets or pills or whatever, then there are two conditions. It is allowed with two conditions. Okay, to prevent the menses is allowed with two conditions. The first condition is that there is no harm on using this thing. Okay, there is no harm on using this thing. If there is any harm on the woman, then it is not allowed. Because the Sharia does not allow us to cause harm to ourselves. So any form of harm by taking the tablets or the pills or inserting this device, then it is not allowed. But if there is no harm, then it is allowed with also the second condition. And the second condition is that if the woman is married, then the permission of the husband is required if her preventing the menses affects him in any way. Okay, how is that? So for example, if preventing the menses prevents pregnancy, and this is one of the rights of the husband, that to have children, so if it prevents pregnancy, then she needs to have the husband's permission. Okay, also another situation where a husband's permission will be required. If, for example, that she is in iddah, she is in a waiting period, and the iddah, of course, is depending on what type of iddah. If it's iddah from talaq, then it is three menstrual cycles. Then, of course, if she prevents a hayd, then that would extend her iddah. Right? And so if in the situation the husband is divorced, irreversible divorce where the husband take the wife back, then the husband is required to spend on the woman. So the woman thinks, okay, right, I'll teach him a lesson and extend my menses, prevent the menses, so he'll have to continue spending on me. Right? Of course, this will affect the man and he will have to spend more on her. So in this situation, his permission would be required. So she cannot take anything to prevent the menses. Is that clear, inshallah? So this is two conditions when a woman can prevent the menses. However, although it is permissible, ulama, they say, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that it is better not to do so, because this is, as I mentioned right in the beginning, this is something natural for women, something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for the daughters of Adam. So they should let nature take its course and should not use anything to prevent hayd from occurring. And, taking these pills or tablets or devices does interfere with the woman's natural cycle, and lots of questions arise as a result. Even, as we'll see later on, if a woman is going for Hajj or Umrah, she should not take these things and she should let nature take its course. And if it happens, inshallah, there is hukum or ahkam that we will discuss later on. So that's the first case, preventing menses. The second case of causing the menses, that is, a woman wants to make the menses happen for whatever reason. Wallahu alam, I don't know why that may happen, that may occur. But if that was to happen, she caused the menses to happen either by taking pills or tablets or using a device of some sort, then it is permissible, again with two conditions. First, that it is not used as a means to miss an obligation. Now, for example, Ramadan is coming up. So a woman thinks, I don't want to fast. I'll start my menses. I'll take a pill to start menses. Okay, that is not allowed. Or a woman doesn't want to pray. She says, right, khalas, I don't want to pray. This time I'll take a pill. So menses start, I don't pray. So that is not allowed. Okay, that would be, a woman would be sinful for that. Secondly, is that it is with the permission of the husband if she is married, especially if it's going to prevent him from one of his marital rights, and that is sexual relationship. Okay, so it is going to prevent him having sexual relationships, so she would require his permission to do that. And also, if, let's say the woman is divorced, and she wants to, you know, get away from the man, so she says, khalas, I'll start my menses very quickly and get over with it. So again, and so the man may have a right to take her back. So if she starts the menses, he would lose that right. So therefore, again, in this situation, she would need the permission of the husband because it affects him as well. Is that clear, sisters? So these are a few of the masail, or a few of the issues relating to menses, inshaAllah. Some of the ahkam or laws and regulations we'll cover in the third part. So this is the end of the first part, inshaAllah. We'll take a break for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then we will come back to the second part to look at istihada and nifas. Wallahu ta'ala alam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين